O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So as I said before, Merry Christmas to each of you. What a beautiful thing. This is the best 11 o'clock Christmas Eve service at St. John I've ever been to. Really, it is. The choir to see, got to gather at 7 o'clock over in the dwelling place, and now the good stuff gets even better in terms of continuing to celebrate that the Lord came down to us to save us. I'm going to tell you a little bit about what happened at 7 o'clock because it fits together here. How many of you have been over to the dwelling place? If you've been over there, you want to, not yet. Hopefully you've been over there. We're one congregation. Hopefully you've been over there. Well, one of the things, and I was blessed to meet Mr. Bill Bonitz when we came to visit, who, longtime teacher, probably before I was even knee-high to a grasshopper, you were here. But where I'm going with this is, in the dwelling place right now, I guess during Advent and Christmas, there are some silhouettes on the wall. Have you seen those silhouettes on the wall? Yeah, so it's the Christmas story is there, and some of it is still yet to be proclaimed and lived out. The wise men are not here yet, so we'll save them. But if you were looking at the front of the dwelling place on the left-hand side, the first panel there, you have the Holy Family. You know who the Holy Family is? Who's in the middle of that? Jesus is in the middle, because everything's about Jesus. And there on the right side is a man, his earthly father, Joseph, and on the left side is Mary. There are animals around there, and in the center is again, Jesus. And he is lying in, what's he lying in? A manger. Yeah, a manger. You know what a manger is? What is it? Something that animals eat out of, yeah. And so that's strange that Jesus, the Lord of heaven and earth, who is a king, is in a stable, a feeding trough, a manger. And so we talked about that. We sang a verse of Away in a Manger. And we talked about then, what do babies do? Regularly. Sometimes they sleep, although Big Sis, it looks like. I think it's Big Sis sleeping. Haven't met everybody. Babies, has everyone here been a baby? Me too. Babies, can they do a lot for themselves? No, can't do a lot. Not even baby Jesus can do a lot for himself. Couldn't change his own diaper, couldn't feed himself. And if you had to think of what babies do, I haven't heard any of it tonight. If they're hungry, if they're uncomfortable, if they want mom or dad, or just something's wrong, what do? They cry. Even though the second verse of Away in a Manger says Jesus didn't cry. But I think he might have. They cry. So we talked about babies crying. And then we tell the rest of the Christmas story. If you look to the left of the Holy Family, you heard it tonight in the gospel lesson. You've heard it many times before from Luke chapter 2. Oh, starting at verse 8, thereabouts, we know that that there were shepherds who were out keeping watch over their sheep. What time of day? Or it was nighttime. Yeah, they're out keeping watch over their sheep. And they're shepherds, but it's not just shepherds, because they're... What's the rest of the story? It's an angel that came to them. Now, there are four angels up there, but let's just say one for right now, because initially, just one angel. It doesn't mean it's wrong. There are more angels that are going to come. But just one angel comes, and he gives some good news to the shepherds. And the first thing people encounter angels in the scriptures, you know what they do when they see angels? They're afraid. And then they say, hey, fear not, don't be afraid, because I bring you good news of great joy that shall be for all the people. Now this is important, because shepherds are not the upper crust. Shepherds are people who are generally not trusted. They're on the outskirts. Literally, they hang out with sheep. They probably stink. You don't want to invite them over your house, probably. That's not going to give you any honor, and they might steal something. They're kind of the lower people in the culture, and yet they say, the angel says, this is good news of great joy, not just for some people, but for all the people, and the shepherds hear it first. And the angel goes on to say, and this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in, you could probably tell, go on the right, swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Yeah, you know this. And then, boom, suddenly, the sky fills up with light, and then there's a bunch of angels. At least four if you go in the dwelling place, even five. There's a fifth one up there. Although one of the angels is not like the others, got a little different dress on or something. But anyway, a bunch of angels, and we usually think of them as singing. Hark the herald angels sing. Except Luke says they're saying, so whatever, it's a small detail. You know what they say. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. And then the angels are gone. And the shepherds say to one another, let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has appeared, which the Lord has made known to us. And so they go with haste. They don't waste any time. And they find Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Now, I learned this hymn song growing up. Oh, come, little children, oh, come, one and all, to Bethlehem. Something to the manger so small. See, Mary and Joseph, is that the next part? I'm looking at Mrs. Pam Johnson. She would tell me. You're the authority on that. See, Mary and Joseph in the manger. And when they saw this thing, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. This is good news for all the people. They go and tell everybody. They go and tell it on the mountain. And the people who heard them saying the news, they wonder about this. Well, that's incredible. The God of all creation would come down to us, and then he told you, the shepherds, but they're intrigued at the very least. And we hear about Mary. She treasured up all these things in her heart. She pondered them. And the shepherds return, praising and glorifying God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Well, about 6 years ago, I came across a hymn in the hymnal with which I was not familiar. Hymn 369. If you want, just go ahead and open up your, since you got hymnals here. Now, earlier I projected the words eventually, but you can just open up the hymnals because you got them there. Hymn 369. As you see at the bottom of the page, this is a hymn written by Yaroslav Vida. And I was not familiar with the music nor the words, and then we sang it, and it's grown on me each year. The thing that I like about this hymn is, so it's where shepherds lately knelt. And it is written from a first-person perspective of the shepherds, and yet it uses first-person pronouns, and I think it could be our song. I think it is our song in some sense. And so it starts out, where shepherds lately knelt and kept the angel's word, I come in half belief, a pilgrim strangely stirred. But there is room and welcome there for me. There is room and welcome there for me. So I wonder maybe if this is some of us tonight. You come in half belief because you've never been here to St. John before. Or maybe you've been here, but it was 17 years ago, and you're not sure if you could darken the door to this place. What would people think? And you're here. Or maybe you come in half belief because you say, hey, I want to support a family member. I'm not so sure about all this, but you're here. I don't think that's an accident. And I think about those shepherds, people who were outcasts, who stayed at a distance, maybe tentatively moving in. Could it be true what this angel said to me, to us? And so they come in half belief, not quite certain, but curious. And then the refrain at the end of verse 1, it says, but there is room and welcome there for me. But there is room and welcome there for me. There's room for you. Here. You might feel like an outsider. You're less than perfect. You confessed your sins, so did I. And yet this Savior, this Jesus, this baby, came to save sinners. He's the anointed one, the Christ, and there is room for you here, in this place, in this congregation. It's our song. Distance and intimacy, attention, and yet God has come to us. He's come for you. And so then verse 2, in that unlikely place, I find him, as they said, as the angel said, sweet newborn babe, how frail, and in a manger bed, a still small voice to cry one day for me, a still small voice to cry one day for me. And this is the part that everything hinges on for me. And I can't hear it or sing it the same after kind of digesting this song. A still small voice to cry one day for me. Someone noticed before the service, I stole Jesus. He's not just mine, he's our Jesus. But I stole him. This is the Jesus that's found down in the Commons area. And he's missing. Don't go look for him now. Stay here. And you look at this Jesus here, and he's in a manger bed, and he's got his arms outstretched. I don't know what he weighs, 7 pounds, 9 ounces. I don't know what he weighs. But he's got his arms outstretched, and maybe you look at him and you say, yeah, he's cute. And he's got his arms outstretched because he wants me to pick him up. Or he's got his arms outstretched because he's welcoming me. And I think that's absolutely something you could see there. I also think he could be a little cold. I'd want to cover him up a little bit. But he's got some swaddling cloths here. I also wonder if he needs to be swaddled. Full disclosure, I think when our second child was born, Oliver, I had a little bit of a crisis of not being able to swaddle him. I watched the nurse in the hospital swaddle him, and I can do that. I couldn't. He'd always fall out. At 3 in the morning, the first night we brought him home, I went to Walmart to buy a cheater swaddler with Velcro at Walmart. So I said Walmart twice. That's what I also think of. Okay, so all that out of the way. Here's the other thing about this little baby Jesus. I think he cried out. And Mary and Joseph, they responded to his needs. I think he probably at some point had his arms outstretched. And then I think about this still small voice to cry one day for me. And there's a reason I like that Jesus over there. That's the 1989 edition. I think Jody Wamscom has some background with that. I like that one, but he has his hand raised in blessing. But look at this one for a minute. Jesus here is in his manger. The Word became flesh and dwelled among us. He's got his arms outstretched. And then listen again to a still small voice to cry one day for me. And you see, he's got his arms stretched out. Here they're perfect. But one day, he would stretch out his arms, not in a manger, but on a cross. And he would cry out, not in a still small voice, but maybe in a large voice. He would cry out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And at the last, Jesus would cry out, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? See, this is that same Jesus. He didn't stay a baby. He came and he grew up. And he was obedient to his parents. He called disciples to follow him. He proclaimed that the reign of heaven was near. And his voice is the voice of truth. He is the one who is the light that shines even into the darkest places, the recesses of our lives, even those sins that we want to hide from God and other people and even are afraid to look at ourselves. And yet he hung and cried out on the cross for you and me. That's what we sang about. What child is this? Because ultimately he comes to die. And that's awful. I don't like death. And I don't like thinking of a little baby dying. But that's why he came. He is the reason. And so, on the one hand, what's my title for this sermon? A voice that cries for me, for you, for us. If you were here on Sunday or last Saturday night or Sunday, this sermon's title also could be, It's All About Jesus, Part 2B. It's all about Jesus. He is the reason for the season. You know that. He is the hope for a world that would seem to be in despair. He is the truth in the midst of lies and things, anything that we would want to anchor our hope to. And he is love for you and me. And so then the song goes on to say, verse 3, how should I not have known Isaiah would be there? You heard Isaiah's prophecy proclaimed that the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shined, on you and me. And that's why we had this candle processional tonight. Jesus, the light of the world, the Christ candle, right there in the center for you and for me. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Lord, give us peace. And so then this very visceral part here in the middle of verse 3, with pounding heart I stare. And the shepherds, that first Christmas with pounding heart, could it be for me that there is room here for me? And maybe it's you. is that pounding heart, either out of doubt or I can't believe this miraculous gift. So faith is something that is a head and a heart thing. And sometimes for me, it all makes sense at a head level. It's very rational, but just at a gut level in my heart, I don't get it. It doesn't make sense. I'm not feeling it. And then other times, none of it makes sense, and yet it just feels right. But I think the sweet spot, it's maybe not all that often, but the sweet spot is when head and heart are on the same page. And with pounding heart, you say, God has come for us. I don't understand how it all works, and yet by faith you comprehend, you believe and cling to this promise. A child, a son, the Prince of Peace for me. A child, a son, the Prince of Peace for me. And so the song then ends this way. Can I, will I forget how love was born and burned its way into my heart? Unasked, unforced, unearned. Unearned. As Lutheran Christians, hopefully we know what that means. That's grace. Unasked, unforced, unearned. I don't deserve this gift. God, I've done nothing to merit this. That God would come down and save me, a poor, miserable sinner. And yet he does. And this is true for us. And it's true for you. And so then it ends this way. To die, to live, and not alone for me. To die, to live, and not alone for me. The shepherds, they behold this miraculous gift that God has come in the flesh. And then they go and tell other people. And that's what we do, I hope. To say that this Jesus, he is the reason for the season. He is the hope upon which everything is anchored. And you get a taste of that tonight. And then you go and tell. You live the good news of the one who has given you and me life. It's a gift. It's not just for you and me, but for all the world to share. Well, sometimes I think of this, I think a lot of things in the way of analogy, I hope, but sometimes I think I could try to describe to you what a food tastes like, but there's just still so no substitute for actually tasting it yourself. So I've described to you this song. But I'd like to sing it. And so that's what we're going to do now. We've got a soloist for verse 1. And then if I remember, then we've got the choir for verse 2. Is that right? And then all of us sing verses 3 and 4. Well, I invite you to. You don't have to, but I want you to. So we'll sing hymn 369, Where Shepherds Lately Knelt. Verses 3 and 4 for everybody. Soloist verse 1, choir verse 2.